Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, October 6, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. And we are in the greatest section in the word of God on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That's 1 John 3:10b. All the way through the rest of chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and for your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I know many of you have been this has been on your prayer list, and you've been praying every single day, maybe even several times a day. But our evangelism team will be going to Child Haven this Saturday. And it's the grace and power of God that our evangelism team is invited to go to Child Haven. It's a government institution, and they have invited us back and back and back and back to present the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, of course, for those of you who have been faithful and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, your prayer life is very, very important to you. And I encourage you to pray for the evangelism team, that they will be channels of God's grace, tools in His hands to be used by Him. Pray that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately. Pray that God will draw by His hand of grace all the kids that are supposed to be there and all the adults that are supposed to be there. And over the years, there have been so many people that will be in heaven as a result of this. Also, Hal Lindsey, I read his report beginning of the week, and I thought, this is exactly what we're teaching on Thursday night. So this is a great introduction to our class tonight. Days of offense, not offense. My first thought, I go, geez, he likes football. Days of offense. When giving the signs of his return, Jesus listed something you may not have spent much time thinking about. Offense. Well, you have, because you've been, for those of you who have been faithful being here consistently and faithfully, why, you know exactly from 1 John 3, verse 13. You're all clued in on this. In Matthew 24:10, the Lord said, "And then many will be offended, they will betray one another, and they will hate one another." Well, that's 1 John 3:13. That's our verse. "And brethren, royal family of God, stop being astonished, surprised, shocked, if the world hates you." First class condition. And the world does hate you. Well, you should be all read into this from our Thursday night class. There has never been a time when more people were more offended over more things than right now. Offense is everywhere in our day. People are offended by things both real and imagined, by words spoken and words unspoken. They are not only offended by your political affiliation, but even by the kind of car you drive. They are offended by names and by whole regions of the country. Jesus said offense is followed by betrayal and hatred. That is exactly what's happening. And that's 1 John 3:13. Most of our society has been infected. We have made taking offense a sign of virtue, and we have shaped it into a fine art. It is one of the main things now taught in public schools, even though it harms both the society as a whole and the individual children being taught. It infuses the music of our age. There's one thing. He should have said the noise of our age. I would never call it music. Now, if you want to hear music, go hear Sarah Brightman sing. Now, that's music. From what goes on, for the most part, it's nothing but noise. And it's infiltrated with hatred, as well as other entertainments. Society reinforces it in the news media, in the home, and yes, even in the church. What a sad thing. The original language takes this verse even further. The word translated offense comes from the Greek word skandalizo. That's where we get the English word scandalize. We are scandalized by the attitudes and behaviors of others. The root word means trapping and ensnaring. Don't be ensnared. This is all people testing. This is what we're studying in 1 John 3:13. Clear the hurdle of people testing. Don't hit the hurdle and crash and burn. You hit the hurdle and trap and crash and burn, you get into mental attitude sins, you get into sins of the tongue, and now you're in the cosmic system. Now you're trapped, and now you're ensnared in Satan's cosmic system. Don't be ensnared. Clear the hurdle of people testing. Please understand that there are times when people's words or actions should shock, insult, and upset us. That's normal, even healthy. But we should never live there. Neither should we be on the lookout for things in which to find offense. And we should never, ever try to find our self-esteem there. People use offense as an excuse. I would have succeeded, but the world is not fair. Yeah. It's the cosmic system. Of course it's not fair. Satan's not fair. The world is the cosmic system. You all are way ahead. I hope. I would have succeeded, but the world is not fair. Nobody has ever said the world was fair. The cosmic system is not fair. Satan is not fair. Don't let your offense at perceived unfairness fool you into not working for God. God wants you on His side. That is, He wants you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And when you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, forces are going to come against you. You see, the cosmic system doesn't hate those living in the cosmic system. Those in the cosmic system hate those that are living the spiritual life. They hate God. They hate those living the spiritual life. That's who they hate. So when you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then forces will come against you. Those living in Satan's cosmic system, whether they're unbelievers or believers. But God will help you become a winner believer. He wants us to be like the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, verses 24 and 25. But none of these things move me, he said. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish the course with happiness. You see, if you hit the hurdle of people testing of those who hate you, you don't have happiness. So that I might finish the course with happiness and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The disease of finding offense in everything is a sign of our times. So don't be discouraged when you see it. You shouldn't be. If you're consistently and faithfully assembling here, metabolizing doctrine, you are learning all about hate in 1 John 3, verse 13. You're learning all about virtue love. You're learning all about people testing is a part of momentum testing. And if you are growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, well, you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have developed personal love for God the Father. That has to come first. If you don't have personal love for God the Father, you will never clear the hurdle of people testing. But once you have personal love for God the Father, that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, all believers, all unbelievers. So don't be discouraged when you see it. Instead of bringing discouragement, may it help us all to realize that our work is very important and very short. Our time is short. Therefore, make sure you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and clearing all the hurdles of momentum testing, and in this case, the hurdle of people testing. Also remember that the disease of offense is highly contagious. Be careful not to let it infect you. God has much work left for you and me. We must avoid getting bogged down in offense. hatred. That is, we must clear the hurdle of people testing. Well, you're way ahead of 99% of the Christians in this country. This is one of the advantages of teaching various classes, a different class on Sunday, a different class on Tuesday, a different class on Wednesday, different book of the Bible, a different book of the Bible on Thursday. You get the whole realm of doctrine, not just get on one thing and ride your hobby horse into the ground, but you get the whole realm of Bible doctrine. Different book in Sunday, different book on Tuesday, different book on Wednesday, different book on Thursday, and you cover the whole realm of doctrine. You need the whole realm of doctrine, not one little puny thing that you ride into the ground. That's not it. So, this passage, 1 John 3, we start, it's, like I say, there's no place in the Word of God that teaches the doctrine of virtue love, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, as complete and in such depth as John does in 1 John 3, verse 10b, all the way through chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. 1 John 3, 10b, anyone who does not do righteousness, that is, produces grace righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, then he absolutely is not a student, a disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Because this is the command. Who did this command come from? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who was there to hear it? John. Because this is the command, which command you heard from the beginning, that we, all believers, all members of the royal family of God, should love one another. That's impersonal love for all. Then the contrast, verse 12. Absolutely not as Cain, who was motivated by the evil one, Satan, and he violently murdered his brother, Abel. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his works, his offerings, kept on being human good and evil. Worthless offerings. Cain's offerings were human good and evil, totally worthless. But the offerings of his brother Abel were righteous, grace righteous production of a spiritually mature believer. And then verse 13, and brethren, royal family of God, stop being surprised, stop being astonished, stop being shocked if the world hates you. First class condition, and the world does hate you. The word world is cosmos. There's another Greek word, ge, that's used for the planet Earth, the world. But this is the cosmos. And this is the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And the cosmic system is at enmity with God, totally at odds with God, and with all believers living the spiritual life. The cosmic system was invented by Satan, the temporary ruler of planet Earth. And he invented the cosmic system to rule mankind on planet Earth. Now, the cosmic system itself doesn't hate you. However, the one who invented the cosmic system, Satan, and all those living in the cosmic system, both unbelievers and believers, they hate you. And who is you? Winner believers, the believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Now, it's not a shock, or shouldn't be a shock or surprise, that Satan hates you. For he goes about as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. So that shouldn't be a shock to you. Likewise, it's not a shock or surprise that unbelievers living in the cosmic system hate you. But what many times is a shock, is a total surprise, is that fellow believers living in Satan's cosmic system hate you, the ones living the spiritual life. When a believer hates his fellow believer, he is living in Satan's cosmic system. He's not walking in light, he's walking in darkness. He has no spiritual life. He has no virtue love. The mental attitude sin of hate is mental attitude murder. This is what Jesus Christ taught in Matthew 5, 21 and 22. Then this is what John is going to teach when we get to verse 15, which says, anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer. Mental murder. That's coming up in verse 15. And brethren, royal family of God, stop being surprised and shocked. Stop being astonished if the world hates you. First class condition, and the world does hate you. The Lord Jesus Christ taught this. What John is teaching is, again, what he learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15, verses 18 and 19. In John 15, verse 18, Jesus Christ is teaching, and he says, if the world hates you, first class condition, and it does hate you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, then it would love you. If you are living in Satan's cosmic system, why, they'll love you when you're in there. You're no different than the unbeliever. There are so many believers, you can't even tell the believer from the unbeliever because they're all living in Satan's cosmic system and they love each other. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And that is why the world hates you. Satan is the inventor of the cosmic system. Those in the cosmic system are living a lie. And believers in the cosmic system hate the people they should love, and they love the people that they should separate from. So, in 1 John 3:13, we have people testing, which is one of the hurdles of momentum testing that God graciously gives to the believer living the spiritual life. It is a great honor and privilege for the believer to receive suffering for blessing. Nothing is greater than suffering for blessing. And we're studying this on Sunday. Romans 5, 3 through 5. Nothing is greater than suffering for blessing because it determines your greatness in life. Momentum testing is that great category of suffering for blessing that will give you the spiritual momentum to advance to the objective, spiritual maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. In momentum testing, God wants you to become a spiritual hurdler. Now, anybody who runs hurdles has to learn precisely correct procedure. And that precisely correct procedure includes lead arm has to be right. You never have a straight arm. It has to be out in front, but nothing tight. Trail arm, lead arm, trail arm, trail lead leg. Well, you see guys run when they're first, they have a straight lead leg. You can't have a straight lead leg. It has to be a bent lead leg. You run over the hurdle. You have a straight lead leg, you can't run over the hurdle. It's a bent leg. The knee comes up and then over and down. Up, over, down. That's lead leg. Then the trail leg. You lead with the knee again. You lead with the knee on the lead leg. You lead with the knee on the trail leg. The knee comes through. toe up on the up. If you don't have your toe up, you're going to catch the hurdle and you're going to go flat on your face. Toe up, come through. So knee in the lead leg, up, down. Knee through on the trail leg, up, down. You run over the hurdle. You have then work on lean. You lean into, some call it bucking into the hurdle. Head position, head up. You take off position. Has to be 7 feet from the hurdle. Landing position, the lead leg coming down has to be 3 feet from the hurdle. You run on your toes. You never run on your heels. There should be no heel. Now, you can't tell anymore because it's all tartan tracks and you can't tell if there's a heel mark or not. But we ran on cinder tracks. And you could see the footprint. And if the coach would look, and I had the greatest coach ever, Tracy Walders. He's now 92 years old, still living, and a believer in Jesus Christ, and had a great conversation. He called me just to let me know, first of all, that he's still alive. And I told him, I said, Trace, you're the best. And you're going to be in heaven. I said, I'm not going to live to be 92. God can change that. If God has me be here beyond 92, I guarantee you I'm probably not going to be up here. Because if I'm sitting in that chair, you can't tell if I'm alive or dead. That's not right, you know. I ought to at least look like I'm alive. And he said, well, I'm in heaven. I said, Tracy, you will be in heaven. You know why? Because you have personally placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You are going to be in heaven. Faith in Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. You will be in heaven. Lita, your wife, will be in heaven. Because of faith in Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody try to tell you you got to do this and do that and a lot of different things. That's not it. It's faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. You're going to be there. Do some recon so when I get there, you can show me where the best place is to run hurdles up in heaven. You have to learn precisely correct procedure. See, I go through some of those things and some of you already tune out. Well, that's your problem. But you have to have the same thing, precisely correct procedure, to clear the hurdles of momentum testing. And what are the precisely correct procedure? God's problem-solving devices. You got to know God's problem-solving devices, all 10 of them, inside and out. Rebound, filling of the Spirit, faith, rest, life, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, personal sense of destiny, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God. You got to know those inside and out to clear the hurdles of momentum testing. If you have those, if you learn precisely correct procedure, God's problem-solving devices, you'll clear the hurdles. And you will not only clear the hurdle, but increase your spiritual momentum and move on to the ultimate objective, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So we have to learn the precisely correct procedure to clear the 10 hurdles of momentum testing. That is, we must learn God's problem-solving devices. God's problem-solving devices provides the precisely correct procedure to clear each hurdle of momentum testing and bring us to the objective of spiritual maturity. This takes great self-discipline and intense training in the Word of God so that you are not disqualified for the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. God loves track and field. And He brings it over to illustrate spiritual truth. No believer attains spiritual maturity apart from clearing the hurdles of momentum testing. Now, we studied this back a ways, and I don't know if you have it or not. You're not going to find this in any other local church. No other pastor that I know of that was a hurdler, first of all. But it's interesting, there are 10 hurdles in the high hurdles, 10 hurdles in the intermediate hurdles, and there are 10 hurdles in momentum testing. See, God loves crack and fail. See, some of you still haven't caught on. You still are. First hurdle is disaster testing, personal disaster testing. Second hurdle is disaster testing, but historical and national disaster testing. The third hurdle is people testing. But guess, this is people testing from those who love you and admire you. That's oftentimes far, far more difficult to clear that hurdle, because these people love you and admire you, and you just go along with them and their human viewpoint garbage, and the next thing you're just hit the hurdle, crash and burn, and you fail in the spiritual life. The fourth hurdle, this is where we are. Fourth hurdle is 1 John 3:13. People testing from those who hate you, who have animosity toward you. Hurdle number five is system testing of marriage. Hurdle number six, system testing of the family. Hurdle number seven, system testing at the place of employment for labor. Hurdle number eight, system testing at the place of employment for management. Hurdle number nine, thought testing. Hurdle number 10, prosperity testing. These make up the 10 hurdles of momentum testing. In 1 John 3:13, we have hurdle number four, people testing. People testing from those who hate you and have animosity toward you. Those people living in the cosmic system will hate, despise, judge, slander, and sometimes try to destroy the believer living the spiritual life. The hurdle of people testing comes from both unbelievers and believers. The greatest shock and surprise is when this testing comes from your loved ones, family, friends, fellow believers. Oftentimes this shock and surprise distracts you away from the spiritual life and into Satan's cosmic system. When this happens, you hit the hurdle and crash and burn. To clear the hurdle of people testing, you must have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, genuine humility, and grace orientation. You must have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. Not only those who love you and admire you, but those who hate you and have animosity toward you. God designed His plan so that you can have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And what is the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ? Sharing the happiness of God. And that's what God wants you to do. Philippians 4:4. Keep on having plus H. Keep on having happiness in the Lord. Always. Always. At all times. Always. I will repeat the command. Keep on having happiness. Plus H. In other words, God's plan for you is to have Christmas every day and Thanksgiving every day. God's happiness always resides in the believer who has lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advanced to spiritual maturity, and has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. God's happiness always resides in him. Whether he's healthy or whether he's sick, whether he's living or whether he's dying, whether he has millions of dollars or whether he has lost millions of dollars. Now, It's hard to lose millions of dollars if you haven't had millions of dollars. But it's being brought to my attention from believers all over this country that in this country, these believers have lost huge amounts of money because of this administration. Huge amounts of money. Hundreds of thousands. Well, it might not be a lot of money to you. It's a hell of a lot of money to me. And that's, I still hear my father when I said, I know what I'm going to do. Because he kept asking, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I said, I don't know. God will show me. And then God showed me. And I couldn't wait to go out in the job. Dad's in his hard hat and overalls, pipe in his mouth. I said, Dad, I know what I'm supposed to do. What's that? I'm going to be a pastor teacher and teach the Word of God. He bit the pipe, bit the end of it right off. And not one of those, and I can't repeat it, I could. Not one of those blankety blank blank preachers. I said, no, I'm not going to be one of those guys. He said, I don't understand. All your teachers said you could do whatever you wanted to do. You could have gone on an engineering scholarship to any school and make lots and lots of money. You're not going to make any money being a blankety blank 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 preacher. I said, well, no, but I'm doing what God put me here to do. And you know what's really great, Dad? I'll be happy doing it. And what's that worth? It's priceless. I'll be happy. You know, if you ever grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, God will get you into the place of doing what He wants you to do. And when you are doing what He wants you to do, you'll be happy. You have a self-contained happiness, impersonal love for all, maximum grace orientation, even to those who hate you. Even when they are your loved ones or family or friends or fellow believers, and therefore you have poise and command of self, and you clear the hurdle of people testing. To avoid reaction and personality conflict, you must have impersonal love as the problem-solving device to clear the hurdle. When you can utilize impersonal love as a problem-solving device, you have made a great advance in your spiritual life, and you have cleared one of the greatest hurdles of momentum testing, people testing. Impersonal love is the great problem-solving device for passing all people testing. And without impersonal love as a problem-solving device, the believer reacts to people who hate him, and he winds up in the cosmic system from having mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Without impersonal love, all you will do is hit the hurdle of people testing and crash and burn. You will never have impersonal love for all until you first of all have personal love for God. So 1 John 3:13, and brethren, royal family of God, stop being astonished, surprised, shocked if the world hates you. First class condition, and the world does hate you. Therefore, a very important part of God's grace gift of suffering for blessing for the believer in spiritual adulthood is people testing. That is what we have in 1 John 3:13. People testing is perhaps the most difficult spiritual hurdle that the advancing believer must clear with precisely correct procedure if he is ever going to attain spiritual maturity. The world hates you. If you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the world hates you. And that's a fact. The world hates the believer living the spiritual life and glorifying God. both believers and unbelievers living in Satan's cosmic system will hate you. You will never attain spiritual maturity unless you clear the spiritual hurdle of people testing. And this is just one of 10 spiritual hurdles in momentum testing. Momentum testing is a fantastic grace gift from God to the advancing believer. And it has two purposes. One, to provide the believer with the opportunity to apply Bible doctrine that he has learned and metabolized, God's problem-solving devices, precisely correct procedure, to apply them skillfully and accurately to your life. That's wisdom. Wisdom is having maximum metabolized doctrine of the heart that you can now apply skillfully and accurately to whatever is going on in your life. So, momentum testing is a fantastic grace gift from God to the advancing believer. It has two purposes. One, to provide the believer with the opportunity to apply Bible doctrine that he has learned and metabolized. To apply the God's problem-solving devices, precisely correct procedure, skillfully and accurately to the testing that he's facing. Secondly, to accelerate the believer's spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. Accelerate. See, spiritual growth results from consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine. That's true. But spiritual growth is accelerated from the application of metabolized doctrine, clearing the spiritual hurdles of momentum testing. And no believer can fulfill the plan of God and glorify the Lord apart from clearing the spiritual hurdles of momentum testing. Verse 14. We clear the spiritual hurdle of people testing by having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts, applying impersonal love to all, including implying impersonal love to the ones who hate you. Verse 14, we know that we have passed. Now that's, if I just stopped there, you would think we know that we have died, you know. You'll know that too. That's pretty simple. I'll know it when you pass too. We know that we have passed. This is the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the verb oida with the conjunction hati plus the perfect active indicative of metabino. The personal pronoun, ego, is very emphatic because you don't have to have any personal pronouns. The subject's in the verb. Subject's in the verb. And so that's true in the Greek. That's true in Hebrew. So anytime you find a personal pronoun put in there, that's God the Holy Spirit putting that in there for emphasis. This is the personal pronoun, ego. E.g. nominative plural is hemes. This is the personal pronoun ego, very emphatic, we. The nominative plural of ego is hemes. And that puts the spotlight on believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and clearing the hurdles of momentum testing. Here, in our context, clearing the hurdle of people testing, specifically people testing of those who hate you and have animosity toward you. And that, so a very emphatic, the spotlight is on those few believers living the spiritual life. And then we have oida. O-I-D-A, very unique word. It's a frozen form. It's a perfect use as a present. The believer living a spiritual life has metabolized maximum doctrine in the past with the result that he knows God's problem-solving devices now in the present. He knows them inside and out. And this enables him to clear the hurdles of people testing with impersonal love for all. And then following, the verb oida means to know. Following any verb that know, to think, to say, these are called verbs of decendi, D-E-C-E-N-D-I, decendi. And following verbs of decendi, hati, is not causative. It introduces an object clause, and therefore it's correctly translated that. And then the verb metabino. M-E-T-A-B-A-I-N, long O. Metabino. One, metabino literally means to go from one place to another. To go from one place to another. Two, it also means to pass over from one place to another. So literally it means to go from one place to another or to pass over from one place to another. Point two, it means to change one's place of residence. Change one's place of residence, to move. Three, this is the believer changing his place of residence from the cosmic system to the spiritual life. That's why this is such a cool verb. Metabino, this is the believer changing his place of residence from the cosmic system to the spiritual life. The perfect tense is the intensive perfect. In the intensive perfect, emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action or on the present state or condition resulting from a past action. The active voice, the believer who rebounds, getting out of the cosmic system and then making good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, the power to live the spiritual life. Spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, the teaching ministry of God the Spirit, so you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. So the active voice, the believer who rebounds, gets out of the cosmic system, and then makes the good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, performs the action of the verb. Indicative mood is declarative, presenting the reality of the advancing believer's change of residence. His change of residence from the cosmic system to the spiritual life. We know that we have changed our residence. And then we have from death unto life. This is two prepositional phrases here. We have the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of thanatos with the definite article. And then we have a different prepositional phrase, ace plus the accusative singular of zoe with the definite article. So the first prepositional phrase, we have the preposition ek. It looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Ek. And ek is a preposition of separation. Separation. You can translate it from, out of, away from the realm of. It's a preposition of separation. Separation from cosmic death in Satan's cosmic system to the spiritual life. And then we have thanatos, separation. Thanatos, what are you separating from? Well, here it's thanatos. T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S. Now, thanatos means death, but there are eight different categories of death in the Word of God. This is cosmic death. Literally, you just translate it death. See, that's why And that's what in the translations. That's all you have in the translation. They're gonna put down. They know, a lot of those people don't even know there's 8 different categories of death. So literally a death. We know, and just think, if I just translate, we know that we have changed our residence from death to life. What does that mean? You see? And this is what pastors do. This is all they do, because they never study from the original autograph. So that's what you're stuck with. This is cosmic death. Cosmic death. Cosmic death is the realm of Satan and the cosmic system. And then that's separation from cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system. Then the next preposition, ace. Actually, that looks the same in the Greek and in the English too. Ace means, is a directional preposition. Ek, separation, ace, directional. To, toward, into, unto. And then zoe. Z, long O, long E. Zoe. Zoe is literally life. And this refers specifically to the spiritual life. The spirit. What happens when you rebound? You know this. How many millions of times you heard me say this? You rebound what? You get back into fellowship with God. You get back into the filling of the Spirit. You get back into the spiritual life. We know that we have changed our residence from cosmic death in the cosmic system to the spiritual life. So the corrected translation. We know that we have changed our residence away from, separated from, cosmic death, the cosmic system, to the spiritual life. Now I'm not going to be able to exegete all this tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and give you previews of coming attractions. Verse 14. We know that we have changed our residence, separated from, away from cosmic death, to the spiritual life. How do we know this? We know this because we keep on loving the brethren. We keep on having impersonal love for all. So we know, we have learned this in the past with the result, we know it now, that we have changed our residence, separated from, away from cosmic death, to the spiritual life because we keep on loving the brethren. Impersonal love for all believers. Now, he takes the contrast. However, anyone who does not love all fellow believers with impersonal love keeps on remaining in the sphere of cosmic death, Satan's cosmic system. That's the verse. Now, I'm not going to be able to exegete all that tonight, but I wanted you to see it. All right. Now, I told you, how many were paying attention? How many categories of death are in the Bible? What? Eight. Very good. Geez, you are. I am so blessed to have a congregation with it. 8 categories of death in the Bible. Category number 1, spiritual death. Spiritual death of the human race. We are all come into the world in spiritual death. At birth, at physical birth. You know, I was getting my hair. Everybody is, they're all talking about the election and this and this and that. And this guy that's cutting my hair, he is conservative. He's a believer, I've given him the gospel, given him the gospel booklet. And, you know, he says, I'm going to be in your church. Well, I can't tell you. If I had $5 for every person who said that, I would be a millionaire. I was going to say an effing millionaire, but I'd be a millionaire. And he says, now, Pastor Olson, what do you think about abortion? And I said, well, first of all, I said, I've seen all these ads, and they're all attacking conservative people running because, and they say, oh, there might be incest, and she becomes pregnant. There might be rape, she becomes pregnant. Do you realize that's less than 1%? What, less than 1%? The people, 99% of the gals that get abortions, they're out there fornicating with everybody in town, get pregnant, get an abortion so they can fornicate with everybody again, and get another abortion, and fornicate with everybody again, and get another one. I said, I'm not for that. I mean, that's like being for Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not for that. But I said, I'll tell you, you're not murdering anybody by abortion. That's not murder. I said, the Bible's very clear. God's very clear about that. And it even says that if a woman is enceinte, she's carrying a baby, and someone hits her and causes her a miscarriage, and that blastocyst embryo fetus dies in the womb, it's not murder, because the Bible is very clear. Murder calls for capital punishment. When that happens, the Bible is clear. That person that caused that pays that woman a sum of money. Pays her a sum of money. I said, that's the word of God. So if there was soul life in the womb, if there was, then that would be murder. And he would be put to death for murder. But there is no soul life in the womb. There's biological life in the womb. There's reflex motility. That's biological life. You don't become a living soul till birth. And at birth, God provides the spark of life. Neshama. As soon as I said that, he goes, yeah. Spark of life. I said, yeah, at birth. And the baby goes, inhale, exhale, and now there's a living soul. Now, when you have a birthday, do you call it Happy Conception Day? Or do you call it Happy Birthday? I have never gone to a Happy Conception Day party. It's Happy Birthday. Why? Because that's when you become a living soul. That's when you become a living soul. At physical birth. In the womb, what is going on? The body's being formed. What did God... Who created the first man? Jesus Christ. What did he do? From the dust of the ground, he formed the body. Here's the body. Was it a living soul? No, but there was the body. God, Jesus Christ, created the body. Then, after the body was completed, then he breathed into it, neshama, the spark of life. And now, he became a living soul. First, Jesus Christ created the body, not a living soul. Then he breathed into him, Neshama, the spark of life, and he became a living soul. Now, what's going on? In the womb, the body's being formed. And then it starts out as a blastocyst, and then becomes an embryo, and then a fetus, and then it's born, physical birth, and at physical birth, neshama, the spark of life is imputed, and inhale, exhale, and you have a living soul at birth. No, it's not murder. And yes, there are times when I it would be totally right to have an abortion. If there was rape involved or incest, then yes. But I said that's less than 1% of those people getting abortions. 99%, and you know, they put this on ads again and again and again so that you vote against the candidate that stands up for establishment truth. But I said 99%, they just want to fornicate with everyone and get an abortion, and then fornicate and get another one. You ever study? Have you ever looked for we watch old movies, black and white movies. We watch old movies and we think we kind of like these people. And so I have Debbie looks up. She says, "Oh, what a horrible life." I tell you, actresses and actors are the worst. Hi, Karina. For the most part, they are the worst people and the most miserable people. And Debbie said, "Well, you aren't going to believe this. The directors got this gal on drugs when she was a teenager. She had an affair with another actor, got pregnant, so they had her get an abortion. Then she had an affair with another actor, and he had her get another abortion. Then she had an affair with the director, and he had her get another abortion. And this was all when she was a young girl. It went on and on, and then she died very young. And I'm not going to even tell you her name, because I like this gal a lot. But this is true over and over and over again. And these men have they aren't men, they're just males, they're animals. Animals, that's all they are. They want to satisfy themselves and have sex, and if you get pregnant, well, they'll go in and get an abortion. Because they have no honor, they have no honor, no virtue, no integrity at all. And you ladies, virtue is infinitely more important. Are you impressed with a body? Oh, he's a hunk. He's eye candy. Well, you ought to get the... That doesn't mean a diddle. Yeah, that's a good word. A piddle diddle. Does he have virtue? Does he have virtue? Does he have sacred honor? Does he have integrity? Anybody can say, "I love you." Birds can say it. You can get a daggum bird, put it in the cage, "I love you, I love you." And that bird has more brains than the person that says, "I love you." And a lot of guys, gals, a lot of guys say, "I love you," because they want to get in the sack with you. And they don't care if you get pregnant, get an abortion. They're not going to marry you. So I was explaining that to my barber, and he says, "Wow, that's the first time I have heard that. Makes sense." I says, "That's because God makes sense. The Bible makes sense. God makes sense." "That's right." And as I'm walking out, "Yeah, it's happy birthday, not happy conception day."
Your birthday, not happy conception day. Neshama, spark of life. That's it, spark of life at physical birth. No, it's you're not committing murder with abortion. And there's and I can't tell you how many Christians and Catholics, but they don't know what the Bible says either. But I know what the Bible says. I'm not for the system, the way it's going, abortion, that anybody has an abortion for anything. I know what goes on. I've read about all these different people and what the gals have had to go through and forced by the male to get this abortion. And he doesn't. All he wanted to do was satisfy his own arrogance, his own self-centeredness. So Roe versus Wade, there's no life, soul life in the womb. That comes at birth. In the womb is biological life. Well, that's all extra, no extra charge for that. We're at category number one, spiritual death, and we'll be studying spiritual death next time. Now, I'll also remind you, Rapid Robert Wilkin will be here Sunday. Bob Wilkin will be here Sunday. Grace Evangelical Society, the head honcho, he's going to be here. So he has the classes. And Bob, great guy, orthodox to the core. He sends out, here, what would you like me to teach? And I select the things I want him to teach. So don't sit out there and go, oh, I'm the one that told them that this is what I want you to teach. Now, and I don't let very many people step behind this pulpit. I'll let him step up here and teach the Word of God. He is right on. So that's Sunday, Bob Wilkin. Again, remember to pray for the evangelism team at Child Haven. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.